Everybody, it's good to see you all again. It's good to see everybody smiling and happy. I believe this is a joyous place. Anyway, every time I've come here, I've sensed the joy of the Lord. Are you really happy this morning? I trust that you are. It's so good to serve the Lord. Why don't you stand up? Stand up, everybody. Turn to somebody that's by your side and just say, I love Jesus, I love to praise Him, and I love you. Give them a hug, too, and welcome them in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. You can be seated, everyone. God is so good. There's so many good things that are going on. Our hearts are just thrilled with His working in all of us. Amen. I think the last time I was here, I mentioned that I was going to be going to a couple of places in the Caribbean. I understand that's where Pastor Ralph and in the Dominican, yeah, it's down there in the Caribbean. And the Lord has been opening up some things that are different in our lives. We had just gone to Belize and then Guyana, ministering the things of the Lord. And God is doing some very exceptional things in nations of the world. I really believe we're living in an age where God is not only just saying it through His church that we are to disciple nations, but God is discipling nations. And this church is a leader in understanding those principles. That's why you keep believing what you're doing. And even as from this church, we receive some support monthly. And I always want to be careful to thank God's people for what they do, because it's as we work together, we accomplish the full measure of God's plan. Amen. And so the Lord has been launching us out in some new directions. In these last meetings, we really saw some changes happening in some countries that are the size that really could see a national taking. Wouldn't that be awesome to see that more and more take place? For instance, Guyana has 750,000 people. That's it. And they are touching government and education and business in a way today that is never seen before in their history. And God is doing just incredible things. We had the opportunity of working with a group of business people and planning to do a trade school for the indigenous people, who are the original people that live up close to the border of Brazil. And God is doing so many amazing things that it just boggles my mind. But the doors are beginning to open as God leads us on to believe Him for good things. It was out of that that the door began to open with some apostolic leaders that are all over the Caribbean. And all of the apostolic leaders are going to be meeting in Barbados this month. And we're invited to go and share and be a part of that meeting. And I believe that God is doing something very, very special that I never saw how He would use some of us from this land. As He wants us to understand that Canada is really raised up to be a healing to the nations. And that's why God has given us an open door, more so than many other countries, to really touch the nations. And I believe that there's a linking right now in what is taking place. So I'm believing for God's blessing upon Pastor Ralph and Christine as they're down there, that there will be an overflow of abundance in their lives that they will receive, and there'll be a blessing to others that they touch, and that God is going to continue to do what He said He would do. So I want to say to you, in saying all that, thank you. Thank you so much for all that you mean to us as we work together in the name of Jesus. It really is, Brother Bob, a covenant relationship. And there's a proving of that. The covenant with Jesus and God, of course. But the covenant that we have with one another is an extension of the communion. And we all partake in that together. Amen. So let's be excited in the things of God and thank Him for all that He's doing in our lives. Bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I have the word that I'd like to share for you this morning. I'm just calling it, you've probably heard this title before, I'm calling it the fullness of joy. The fullness of joy. Do we really understand what the fullness of joy is? And that God wants us to walk in this in every circumstance. I kind of chuckled to myself, Brother Bob, and to the others that are partaking this morning when they came in and told me, so many people told me of all the stuff that's gone wrong this morning. And yet, we are called to keep the joy of the Lord through every circumstance, through every test, through everything that's going wrong. There's a joy that is very supernatural that rises above everything in our lives. And God wants us to walk in that, amen, and to be raised up in it all the time. I joined you this morning in that frustration. I went to look for my reading glasses in my briefcase, and I can't find them, Brother Bob. And I spent time out there looking over the office. I thought maybe I dropped them there. I sent my wife back to the car to see if she could find them, and I couldn't find my reading glasses. I do have a backup pair, but you pray for me this morning. They are not the prescription ones. These are just the $10 drugstore ones, you know what I mean? But we're going to pray this morning that they will really work. And that God will help us to keep the joy of the Lord. We, in days gone by, have sung so many songs of joy. And there's been many songs of joy in this church. But not only songs of joy, there's been a demonstration of it continually in all of our hearts. So God wants to say some things to us so that we retain this truth. This is an eternal principle that God is in our hearts. And He wants us to enter into it in faith. Amen. Bless you, Jesus. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity that we have to be here this morning and to sense your presence as we've already worshiped you together. We thank you for this great privilege that is ours. We thank you for the anointing that we sense, O God, that comes from you continually. We know that the anointing from your hand abides in us, and we call on it through faith in what Jesus has done and the working of the Holy Spirit. So, Father, we ask that you speak to us in the things that are to be said this morning. May you encourage us, O God, to be people that trust you and rise up continually in the joy of the Lord. We thank you now in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen and amen. Bless you, Lord Jesus. There's a couple of scriptures that I'd like you to look at as I begin here this morning. And we'll put them up on the screen if you have them. I'm reading them from the New Century Version. I do use some different translations in my study. In fact, in my office, I have 36 translations of the Bible. I've just been a person that likes to study from the Word of God in the way that people see it. Now, not all of them are real great translations, but some are written in a way that can help us to understand what is being said in a little different form. And this is one translation that I like and some of the things that it says to us. There's some scripture here that I want you to look at. John 15, verse 11. If you have it there, John 15, verse 11, where it says this. I have told you, now this is Jesus speaking, I have told you these things. He said, I told you these things. Now get it. It's really what he was saying, kind of. I told you these things so that you can have the same joy. Isn't that marvelous? He wanted us to have the same joy he had. And it was the joy that could face the cross and still be happy. Now think about that for a moment, everybody. We've all probably comprehended it at times, but it is an amazing truth to understand. He took the sin of the world and died and suffered to save us. But he did it in joy because he understood the Father's plan. And he wants us to have the same joy that lifts us above every circumstance. I've told you these things so that you can have the same joy I have. And so that your joy will be the fullest joy possible. Now that's a point that you need to get this morning by the grace of God. When we understand the fullness of joy, it's the fullest joy possible in any given situation. And that's important because we all walk through issues and trying circumstances of life. We face this morning, although those are small trials, it's enough to totally frustrate you, and the enemy would want to use it to take the joy from your heart. And there's always a process to get this out of us. I'm convinced as I show you this morning, before Jesus returns and the consummation of everything takes place, the church will be joyous. And why not Jubilee leading the way? Come on, everybody, say amen. If you started in it, please, in Jesus' name, let's finish in it. Amen, amen. That sounds good to me. And I love that part of what God is doing here at Jubilee. The fullness of joy is the fullest joy possible in every given circumstance. The truth of it is that there is joy in everything you face. And the Apostle Paul understood that in the writings of the Scripture and demonstrated it in his life. One more scripture, the second scripture is in Romans chapter 14, verse 17. It says this, in the kingdom of God, eating and drinking are not important. That may sound a little amazing to all of us because we do put a great emphasis, as our friend here said this morning, anything can get us to the things of the world. Even sometimes our enjoyment in eating too much. No, nobody understands that. But anyway, we need to see that the Word is making this clear to us so that we understand the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. There's such a fuss that goes on in the world today, or in the church even, about certain things that we eat or we drink. That's not the important issue. The important issue is the conditions of the heart. And so the kingdom of God, which is within you, is built on the conditions of the heart that manifest up out of your heart, outward to those that are around us. So although it's good in fellowship for the church to eat and drink together, these things must be seen. The kingdom of God, in the kingdom of God, eating and drinking are not important. The important things are, can you say this with me? Living right with God, peace, and joy. Amen. The world is in need of this. And they need to see it in us. The reason I don't do certain things in life is because I want to live rightly before God. And so it's important to understand it and not get religious in our Christian living, but to understand we are living the benefits of the kingdom of God. Right? So the important things of the kingdom are right living, peace, and joy. Everybody say, oh God, just give it all to us. He's already done it if we enter into it through faith in Jesus. The third scripture is found in 1 Peter chapter 8, verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. And that's not because I'm not seeing everything perfectly, or maybe I'm not. It says this, you have not seen Christ, but still you love him. You cannot see him now, that's true, but you believe in him. So you are filled with a joy that cannot be explained. A joy full of glory. Wow. Listen to me, church, this morning. The joy is Jesus himself. And we're filled with that today. The world doesn't understand this joy. There's many people that don't understand yet what you have inside of your heart, but you have Jesus, thus you have the joy of the Lord. It's dwelling in you. And we thank God for that. Now listen to me, everybody. All this came to me and I felt God wants me to say this in Jubilee as the Lord was bringing it to me over the last little while, over two events that have taken place in our country. Number one was the bus tragedy in Humboldt, Saskatchewan, where I've been to speak. When I was in Bible school many years ago, where I went to Baba College in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, we traveled regularly to Humboldt and Nipawin, which is the very area where this bus tragedy took place that took the life of, how many was it, 10 or 11 hockey players, plus many others, many, many others that are injured. That really spoke to my wife and I because, of course, it was of an area where we have been and brought up in that area and all kinds of things were going over in our minds. And I even imagine being there and some of those families we know already are born again believers that were involved in this. Such an unusual tragedy. There's just no answer to it. People that try to say, well, where was God? He's where he always was. God didn't have anything to do with causing it to happen. But he will work through circumstance and bring glory to his name in those of us that choose to walk in what God has for us. So because of that tragedy and being involved in our lives and all of that had taken place, we watched the some of the vigil that took place. I just felt it was so important that I saw all of this. And there were some people there that were trying to speak for God, and then there were some people that were really speaking for God. Do you know what I mean? And I say that with a lot of love in my heart. But there was one lady there that sang Amazing Grace. And you knew that you knew that you knew that you knew that you knew she was born again by the Spirit of God. Because of the incredible joy that was manifesting in her face, in her voice, in her demeanor, in everything that she was doing. And the reason I'm talking to you the way I am this morning, because the Spirit of God began to speak to me and began to say to me, Pastor Paul, would you be able to respond just exactly like she was responding in the face of all these questions that these people were staring at her with? And she said it several times, what this place needs is the song of the Lord. What this place needs is to sing, because in singing there's joy. And I could just see some of them with dagger in their eyes saying, who are you to say what you say? But she was the answer to their need. And she's the answer to every situation that we face. And that answer's in us as we purposefully retain the joy of the Lord. Now, I say that to make that clear to you this morning, as I'm making it clear to myself, because I'm convinced, and this is important, every time we speak as servants of the Lord, we're not only speaking to those that we share, but we continually speak to ourselves. And I found myself since this, and I felt it all around this message for Jubilee here this morning, that God wants us to retain the joy of the Lord. And we can do that by choice. And this is what's really important for this house. Because you were born in the principles of faith and joy. Amen? Right. Hallelujah. I've seen this place rocking in joy. And my prayer is all the time that we'll rock again. Is that okay to use that word? Anyway. Come on, folks. We're born in this. We love him, even though we haven't seen him. Nobody understands that. We're born again because we know we've gone from darkness to light. We are changed people. And the joy comes the same way in understanding what's inside of us. So the joy of the Lord is really important for us to walk in this in our lives. Now, the second one, before I go a little further in this, I'll lay my good glasses down. The second one that I wanted to talk to you about was this tragedy that took place in Toronto just the last little while. This rocked us too. Because we have several people from our church that are living within a stone throw from where that took place, that walk those streets regularly. And I sense the incredible fear that the enemy himself was trying to bring over the whole city. You should have seen it for a little while. Nobody went on Yonge Street up in that area. There's still a lot of fear. See, the enemy's at work to do the exact opposite to what God wants. And it has to be the believing people who discern what is taking place and determine that we know the principles of the kingdom of God are lived out in us. And we have to. This is what I'm convinced the Lord is looking for before we see the incredible move that will bless the earth. He wants the church to rise up in what we know is truth. Right living, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The world needs them all, but I'm talking this morning about joy, which I believe is a hallmark of Jubilee. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So I was caught up in that event that just took place, a tragedy kind of that took place after the other. One of the people that spoke at that vigil that took place in Toronto after all this took place, when they gathered together up in the area and had a vigil, one of the leading voices was in our church. Not a member of our church, but she came to our church on the Sunday before this. And she spoke these very same things. And she asked for prayer that she would be able to manifest the joy and the peace of the Lord through everything that she said in the face of this most difficult, difficult tragedy. And I watched her at the vigil. She did a tremendous job. We prayed that God would give her the wisdom and the words and the understanding how to manifest the true joy of the Lord. And some of you may even be looking at me this morning, although some of you have lived through some things where you do understand. Some of you are saying, Pastor Paul, how can you have the joy of the Lord in that situation? But I saw it manifesting inside her. And I believe that God is trying to say something to his people. Because even in the city, if God's people get fearful, what hope is there for the city? And so God wants us to rise up and to know that this is important for us to understand this and to walk in what he has for us. There's so many things that are happening in the world. Things that happen around us, political uncertainty. We're getting used to that word. You know, North Korea says this, North Korea says this. They from Iran say this, and then they say this. Right now they're talking about what's going to take place in Israel. They actually say, I've been told that the pilots of the Air Force in Israel are regularly sitting in their cockpit. They sit there 24 hours a day. And they're ready for war. We live in this time of tremendous uncertainty when there's so much that is coming against us in the world perspective. The economic uncertainty. The word today is volatility. People that are involved in stocks, up and down, everybody trying to forecast how to make their fortune. Nobody knows what the interest rates are going to do. They have to put it down. No, they have to put it up. No, they have to put it down. No, they have to put it up. The truth of the matter is, I think they don't understand totally what to do. And they live in this kind of realm of uncertainty. The debt of nations, which is sweeping nations, particularly Canada. Ontario, for instance, they tell us now is the most indebted province of the world. We carry more debt than any other a province our size. It's unbelievable what is taking place around us. Family struggle. Kids in the internet. I had some families say to me the other day, what do we do in this age with our children? They're so exposed to everything that's around us, including on the internet. Sickness and disease is brought upon us. The enemy brings things against us to torment our minds and to keep us away from the things of the Lord. We were just at the conference the other day, and Rob Quinlan's son, who had just gone to Africa with Mark Davey to minister over in Avia, they say he has malaria. But then when I talked to his mother, she had said, well, they think it's malaria, but there's such a small trace of malaria in his blood that they know there's something wrong, but they don't know what's wrong. All kinds of things are around us. And I think God is working so that we live above it. By his amazing grace and his spirit that works within us. There's emotional issues. We were at the conference down in Windsor just this week and listened to Harrison Mungo, who was sharing with us about some of the emotional issues that people are carrying in the world. The world is full of it. Tragedy after tragedy, fear and anxiety, discouragement and depressions. But through it all, God gives us supernatural joy in Jesus. And it's that joy that we need to continue to rise up in by His grace. And let it work in our lives over and over and over and over again. Bless you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Just four things I'd like you to take down about what joy is scripturally. If you're writing something down in your Bible, write this. Number one, joy is unexplainable. And that's a scripture that I won't have time this morning to turn to all of these scriptures, but we see it in the Bible in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. The joy of the Lord is unspeakable if you look at it in the New King James. But in a proper translation, it is called it's unexplainable. You really can't explain it. So I said to the Lord when I was thinking about these thoughts this morning, how do you bring a message on something you can't explain? That's difficult, it seems like. But we learn to know that you can't explain it, you live in it. Because the joy of the Lord is found in what Jesus is inside of us. And I, as you do, have to continually bring yourself back to it by a Holy Spirit determination. It's unexplainable. Secondly, the scripture tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, this joy is glorious. Now, there's a good religious word. Most people in the world, if you were to use the word glorious, they don't know what you're talking about. But we know that there's something that the Word of God wants us to understand in it. I took a moment to look in the dictionary at the explanation of the word glorious. And listen to this. This is what it says it is. It's wonderful. It's marvelous. It's magnificent. It's superb. It's sublime. It's lovely. It's spectacular. It's delightful. It's illustrious. It's celebrated. It's famous. It's honored. It's acclaimed. And it's distinguished. Wow. Whatever it is, it sounds like something we should know about. And that's the joy of the Lord that God has for us inside of us. If we'll learn to walk in it by His power and live by it all the days of our lives. Hallelujah. So number one, joy is unexplainable. So everything else we see about it in the Word is just to help us live in it. So let's get the glory of God working in us and in His house. Amen. So that we can really walk in the joy of the Lord. The third point that I want you to understand about joy is that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, how many here like to be strong? Come on, everybody, I'm sure, wants to be strong in your life. Particularly every man. And I'm sure every lady, too, wants to understand strength. When we think about it, we think about physical strength, but I'm talking about having inner strength. We want to be strong. When I came here this morning, I want to be strong in the Lord for everyone. If there's anything in my life that comes from Jesus, I want it to manifest so that others can see that I have something that He gave me. And it's strength. So the joy of the Lord is unexplainable, it's glorious, it's strength. Fourthly, the joy of the Lord is comfort. Now, we all like to be comforted, do we not? I was looking at this little baby back here. A baby loves to be comforted, but we do too. My wife and I often say to ourselves, because we don't have any kids around the house anymore, so we'll say, let's just get some comfort food. And her and I know exactly what our favorite comfort foods are. It's strange, isn't it? Seems I have the same comfort foods as her. It just feels good to be comforted. I actually am comforted when I come to Jubilee because I find this an easy place to minister. I believe there's an open door here. The heavens have opened. And that's why you can preach the true word of God. So I'm comforted when I come around. Particularly, I believe, because I come among friends that haven't been up and down in my life, but friends that have lasted the test of time. Hallelujah for you all. And I know that's not going to end. There's comfort things in our lives. But the scripture tells us that the joy of the Lord is comfort. I'll give you a scripture for that, just in case I miss it here. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4. So these are the four things I want to bring to you. It's unexplainable, so know that it starts there. So everything else is really unexplainable. You just get it to understand it. Glorious, strength, comfort. These are all things that are so important for us to grab onto and to see in our lives. The last thing, which is the fifth point there that I want you to get, the joy of God is our reward. Now, everybody's looking for rewards. And it's nice to have a reward every so often. And I've had a few of these things happen in my life where someone has brought a reward over something that took place in our lives, and that's tremendously fulfilling. So I want you to get that. It's unspeakable. It's strength. It's comfort. It's our reward. And it's glorious. Those are the main points about it. But here's what I want to say to you after all that comes to your spirit, and I hope it does. That the joy of the Lord is a fruit of the Spirit. This is important. Can you just... I brought with me an apple this morning. I love apples. Down here, that you start to see some real good blossoms right now. Give me the other one. I have an apple and a gift here. Which one would you rather have? Be honest. The apple or the gift? Don't be afraid. It could be $100. An apple? He's going to give me an apple? I bring this to you to make a point, which I think is really important in understanding this truth that we're sharing this morning about the subject of joy. A gift you can hang on a tree. Can you not? A gift you can hang on a tree, but a fruit must grow on the tree. And here's a big issue of the kingdom of God with all that we're facing now about gifts and fruit. And so many great leaders in the church are failing because of the lack of fruit, character. Which are choice principles. Yes, there are gifts of the Spirit, but there are fruits of the Spirit. They work by the same Holy Spirit, but this one is given. This one we must grow into. And every day of your life, you are growing into the fruit of the Lord by choice. The first three of fruits of the Spirit are in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. What is it? Love, joy, peace. I won't go into the rest of them. That's enough because we've mentioned some of them already. But I'm talking about joy. Joy must grow in you, and that's a choice. You grow up into it by being willing to exercise what you know is true. This is why I pray that we never stop praising God, that we never stop being joyous in the house of God, because it is an expression of the life of Jesus that is inside of us. And this is often easy. It's easy to hang gifts on a tree. It's easy to hang our gifts. And we have gifts. out for others to see. But what God really wants people to see is the fruit that manifests in our lives. As we walk through every situation, but we believe Him for His presence in our lives. Amen. So which one do you really want? The fruit. The fruit is so important. I often get excited when I read through the book of Philippians because I understand the book of Philippians to be the epistle of joy, where the Apostle Paul caught something that was so deep in his spirit. And he wrote back to the Philippians. They actually tell us that the Apostle Paul was in prison in Rome, where he had been beaten and placed in prison. And he writes back to the church at Philippi. And thus we have the book of Philippians. I can hardly imagine in my mind the way he wrote with such incredible understanding of the joy of the Lord. In all those given circumstances, he was walking in it all the time. And I saw more clearly than ever that it was a choice in him. I've experienced it. I know it's true. So I'm going to live it. And he lived in it, bringing that down to us. You all know some of the first thing that happened to the Apostle Paul when he went to Philippi, which was the first European city that he had ever gone to. And he was called to come over into Macedonia. Remember, very supernaturally, as the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, come on over to Macedonia. And he came to the city or the colony of Philippi. And that's where he began to do the work of the Lord. And the great church was established there for God's purposes, bringing the scriptures down to us. And he revealed so much of this truth that we understand now in the subject of joy. But nevertheless, you remember what happened there firstly, if you know a little bit about the story in the book of Acts, when he went to Philippi, he had some difficulties because there were miracles taking place. There were tremendous healings by the grace of God and people didn't understand it. And one girl was delivered of a spirit. Do you remember? And the whole city got into an uproar. They called him into the center, and the magistrate had him commanded that he would be beaten. And Paul was beaten with stripes, and then he and Silas were placed into the prison. You remember? Oh, listen, church, this morning. That's how this book came out of that. I'm convinced of it. So he and Silas are in prison. They actually say that they took extra people to guard him. He's in those stocks. He's in the prison, bound behind bars. And he says to Silas, what did he say? Come on. Come on, my friend. Let's sing. Do you think that took willpower? Yes, it did. It took willpower to sing. It takes willpower to praise when we come to the church all the time. You have to come ready to praise. You have to come determined to praise. Or everything that took place before you got to church will manifest in you while you're at church. Unless you determine to give yourself to praise. And enter into the joy of the Lord. Now these things actually took place because we know the Word of God is true. So in the jail in Philippi, he sings the joyous praises of God. And we all know that a miracle took place. And God caused them to be released from there. And they went on to minister in other places. But in that, years later, he writes back after those situations and gives us the book of Philippi, which is filled with messages about the joy of the Lord. And I pray we would see it. I'll just give you a few points here before I close. The Philippian letter says these things. It teaches us to understand, number one, the joy of prayer. Anybody that doesn't understand the joy of prayer finds it difficult to pray. So many people say to me over and over again, Pastor Paul, how do you pray for more than 5 minutes? How do you pray for more than just a few things? I'm convinced we have to understand that it's built in the joy of the Lord. He reveals this in Philippians. Number two, joy. There's joy revealed that Jesus is preached. Hallelujah. You know, in the face of all the circumstances that we walk in and what takes a place all around us, the joy should be in us because Jesus is still preached. Everywhere we go, he's preached. We were just told this last week at the convention of a great church in Fiji. Fiji, that has 100,000 people in it. Tony Miller told us about this. A church that has 100,000 people, and they're establishing churches and doing mission work all over the world, and the only places that they go is where Jesus has never been preached before. That's where they establish the works. So we all know and understand that while the events of the world are taking place, still there's a joy in knowing that nothing can stop the preaching of Jesus Christ. And it's being established everywhere. And Paul saw that and wrote that to us in the Word here. So we see here that there's joy in prayer. There's joy in that Jesus is preached. Thirdly, there's the joy of faith. Philippians chapter 1, verse 25 speaks actually about the joy of faith. Of walking in faith continually, of being a people that believe that something's going to happen, that God's going to do more than he ever did before as we walk in the principles of faith. The joy of faith. And then in Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, there's the joy of fellowship. That's a little bit about what we're experiencing here today, that we understand that fellowship in God's people is a joyous thing. Philippians chapter 2, verse 17 tells us that there's joy in identifying with Christ. No matter what he went through, the joy of identification is exciting. That's why even this morning the communion is meant to be joyous, because we identify with Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 28, it tells us that there's joy in others' blessings. Hallelujah. We should be happy when somebody else gets a blessing. Amen. There's report came to us the other day that there's a church in the city that received, one man came in and paid off the entire indebtedness, $1.2 million of the church indebtedness, paid off the entire mortgage. And we had been gathered together in a time of prayer, and really, I could sense there were people of God with me that understood some things. We felt the joy of the Lord in what God was saying through the blessing that had come to this house. Hallelujah. One of us, I remember one said, well, who was that businessman that did that? And all the report came to us was that nobody knows who he is. He didn't even put the money directly into the church because he didn't need a receipt that we had heard. He didn't give it because he needed anything. He went right down to the bank, went and talked to the bankers and said, what is the mortgage on this particular church? And without giving anything to the church, he just paid the whole thing off. I think it's going to happen over and over again when God's people really respond the way we should respond. And we understood this principle. Now, this is what Paul saw in this. He also, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 29, the joy of hospitality was seen. And he recognized that there's a tremendous joy comes in people sharing together and being hospitable with one another. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, the joy of being in Christ, knowing that we are in him all the time. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1 speaks of the joy of winning someone to Jesus. Have you ever won someone to Jesus in your life? I think one of the greatest joys that comes into our life is the joy of winning somebody to Jesus. And you can look upon that over and over again and sense the rejoicing that comes into your heart. And lastly, number 10, I've given you 10 points, and they're just a few of what takes place in the book of Philippians. The joy in a gift. There's always an opportunity of giving somebody something. Where's my gift? I should give that away. Who am I going to give this to? Here, you look like a good person. You can have that. We need to understand the joy of the Lord is something that God wants working inside of us. And it's a choice. Now, when I close this morning, I want to make sure that you understand how we began. This boy pointing out in the scripture that the fullness of joy is the fullest possible joy in any given situation. So whatever you're facing or whatever you faced, the joy of the Lord is the fullest. And God wants us to rise up on it and be a people that enjoy His presence. Amen. Let's stand together, everybody. If I could have the worship team, if you would come, and we're just going to play a little bit. If any of you would like to come for prayer this morning, both Pastor Elaine and myself are here, and we want to just lay hands upon you and believe with you for anything in your life. But above everything, I'd like to pray with anybody who would like more of what you know God has placed within you in the joy of the Lord. For the joy of the Lord is truly our strength. Amen. Now, David, I talked a little bit about the Apostle Paul, probably, could we say, the most popular, although I hate to say that, but the most popular character of the New Testament outside of Jesus is the Apostle Paul. And we spoke about how he learned to walk in this and teach it and bring it back to the church. And it's coming to us again here this morning. But I think one of the most popular personalities in the Old Testament is King David. And he walked through circumstance after circumstance of disappointment and difficulty. Even the failure of his own life could have wiped him out. Some people would wipe out real easy in it because what he went through in the adulterous situation and the murder that took place in his life. And you remember what he prayed in Psalm 51? Lord, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Isn't that awesome? And what's the rest of it? Restore unto me what? The joy of my salvation. And my prayer is that you will be restored and walk in what God has put in this house. Amen? And we'll take a few moments here to pray with everybody and just believe for that to manifest. But let's expect good things. Amen? Why don't you just, can you sing something, one of the songs of worship, one of the ones that you had, maybe is fine. And whatever. And we're going to just believe and trust God to touch us. Now, Father, we thank you that you are working in us. Because we are the representatives of the kingdom of God. And we know that the kingdom is in us. And we understand and know that the joy of the Lord has been given and is found in Jesus. And Father, we are determining this morning for a fresh touch of determination that rises in us to lift up the joy of the Lord and to manifest that which is in us. Help us, O God, to be on the leading edge of giving ourselves to enter into joy and be that people that will manifest what you are in us everywhere we go. I believe for a breakthrough over Jubilee. I ask you, Lord, to do amazing things in this house. Work continually, O God, in the miraculous. But help us through it all as we see the miracles of healing and deliverance and your power go before us. Help us, O God, to understand that in every situation, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We pray this in Jesus' name. If you'd like ministry, come and we're going to